Language anglais. Tart, zero quatre. Mais du mille de neuf. Fires, earthquakes, and floods, the influence of extreme events on Mameluke cities. Yehoshua Frankel. https://peristyle.ch/2019/03/04/erdbebenfuavasandandercatastrophen/1fires, earthquakes, and floods, the influence of extreme events on Mameluke cities. Yehoshua Frankel reports on fires, earthquakes and floods constitute an integral part of the Mameluke Chronicles, which provide the documentary foundations of the present contribution. One Mameluke authors provided descriptions and even explanations of various devastating natural hazards. Since a survey of these titles is beyond the limits of this contribution, it is sufficient to say here that disaster accounts within Mameluke Chronicles make up discrete phenomena with a more or less well-marked beginning and end. Moreover, several contemporaneous authors composed short works on environmental devastations, epidemics and famines. They report on events caused by nature and refer to the human factor not as an actor but only a victim. Too attracted by the growing field of the history of natural hazards and society and number 039's interpretation of such events, my interest here is in damages and recovery. Dovetailed with these accounts of catastrophic events are often reports on reconstruction and revival efforts. 3. To facilitate research and the presentation of results, I have divided the following discussion into three sections, each concentrating on one type of calamitous natural event. The lists in the appendix and scholarly literature provide data on time and location, allowing me to dwell in the main text upon the aesthetic dimensions of the accounts that the medieval authors present. Fires. Let's start with reports on destruction caused by fires. In a considerable number of accounts, it is clear that we are hearing about official sites, like arsenals, palaces, fortresses, shrines, and urban constructions. A second salient feature of these accounts is the accusation against non-Muslims for kindling these destructive flames. It is not rare to read lines that narrate this scenario. Thus, for example, the Franks, i.e. the Crusaders, are blamed for starting a fire in Aleppo, 651-52. For in retaliation Muslim authorities extorted considerable sums from Christian communities, five who were forced to compensate the Muslims and pay for the reconstruction efforts. 6. Equally, we come across references to arson as an expression of communal tension. The following account illuminates this. A Christian man was charged with being the offspring of a Muslim man. He was arrested in Egypt, and the judge and number 039's verdict was that he remained chained till he converted to Islam. His fellow religionists complained to the governor and intercommunal tension started to build up, with the consequence that Muslims set the local church on fire and burned its icons. 7. https://peristyle.ch/2019/03/04/erdbebenfuavasandandercatastrophen/2. Another case in point is found in the reports on the fire caused by lightning at the Mosque of the Prophet in Al-Madinah, 886-1481. 8. An account by Al-Kunji, 859-927/1455-1521, who was in those days in Cairo, illustrates the prevailing Muslim modes of expression. Reporting on the fire, which caused severe damage to the shrine of the Prophet Muhammad, he tells, and quote, "We learned that when the Franks learned of this disaster, they celebrated and feasted, believing that it was a good omen." And quote, semicolon. 9. These words serve as a mirror and reflect clearly the prevailing view among late Middle Period Muslims. A further case is a lengthy account of communal clashes in Cairo and the setting ablaze of several streets. This chain of events has been thoroughly researched. 10. And we can limit our contribution to a condensed description. All the six Mameluke chroniclers, five Muslims and one Christian, agree that the fire endangered the lives and properties of the Mameluke elite. Some point towards the local Christians and claim that the blaze was caused by them in retaliation for destruction of churches across Egypt by Muslims. 11. Later authors produce a very dramatic description of the event. A large crowd assembled and cried for God and number 039's help. Porters dashed to and fro carrying water from the Nile. Even unveiled women came out to fight the blazes. 12. It is appropriate to mention here that Christians were not the only non-Muslims to be accused of arson by Muslim authors. Reporting on a fire in Damascus, a local eyewitness chronicler tells, on Saturday the 21 D Shaban R 740/22 February 1340, which had been the day of the fire, the Muslims had seized a prominent Jewish man, a perfumer, Atta, at the bottom of the stairs. On Sunday they tortured this man, named Sadid, who confessed that they, the Jews, started this fire. 13. Moreover, the panic that fires in urban spaces generated can explain why fires were used as a tool of punishment. An example of this type of documentation is the report on a Christian who arrived in Cairo from the Sinai, 754/May 1353. Accused of blasphemy, he responded, and quote, "I said so out of an impulse to be a martyr." He was tortured and executed. Then his body was set at fire and quote, semicolon. 14. An analysis of punishment reports, however, is far beyond the boundary of the present study. Yet before continuing with the analysis of the historical sources, it seems appropriate here to turn to studies of modern climates in the Mediterranean basin that live with the risk of forest fire. We may assume that long dry summers in Bilad al-Sham intensified the potential outbreak of fires that devoured large grass fields and woods. Although the topic of climate, dry summers, years of drought, is not addressed in the present paper, we cannot exclude its devastating impact on the fauna, landscape and society. 15. Indeed, the narrators make it clear that not all fires were believed to be man-made. Al-Makritsi, who marshals the fires of 740/1339-1340 on a single page, tells of an incident following a heavy storm when a falling star set fire to woods and houses in the Gulf of Alexandretta. In a second incident, fire from heaven set ablaze a wood and houses in https://peristyle.ch/2019/03/04/Erdbebin-Fuvasandandare-Katastrophen/3 village near Damascus. And quote, certainly, it was a sign of warning, ayo. And quote, he concludes his report. 16. His line fits other interpretations of devastating natural forces. 17. Al-Makritsi continues his account and tells that a couple of days later blazes devoured a house in a neighborhood east of the Great Mosque of Damascus, Shawl 740/April 1340. The fire reached the sacred place, a development perceived by contemporaries as a dramatic twist. The poet Ibn al-Wadi provides an eyewitness account of the flames. 18. Utilizing an apocalyptical mode, his verses tell of flames were seen from remote distances, fires that engulfed houses and climbed the eastern minaret, and quote, it looked as if the night and number 039's stars feared they would disappear and covered it with a blanket of smoke. And quote, of young men who risked their lives to save the mosque, of the viceroy Tanqis who joined the firefighters. The people of Damascus were astounded by the flames and by the devoted firefighters, who willingly endangered their lives and volunteered to extinguish the fire. And quote, I was told that Damascus is paradise, but the place turned out to be hell. And quote, he concludes his narration. Khalil al-Safadi, a well-known contemporary Damascene literateur, also composed a maqama on this fire. 19. It opens with a story of his arrival in the magnetizing city. One night a wave of stifling air blasted through his bedroom. High voices carried the news, a fire near the great mosque is burning the houses. With many other citizens, our narrator rushed to the mosque and number 039's court. He witnessed the fire consuming some of its magnificent wings. The red flames swallowed the green dome, Qubbat al-Qadr. 20. The blazes rose aloft, practically reaching the stars. The thick smoke spread over the galaxy. Seemingly, people along the Nile shores noticed the fumes. It resembled a scene in a Malhamat Ibn Abi Aqb. 21. Then came the unquote, see unquote, and calmed the public's fear. 22. The viceroy and his men earned respect for battling the blazes for 2 days. They could not rest for long because a devastating fire burned shops and workshops. The viceroy was prized, not only for his efforts in extinguishing the fires, but also for arresting the perpetrators. Christian clerks who worked at the governing administration and 2 monks were said to admit that they produced firebombs and started the fires. They were executed, and their property financed the renovation of the mosque and number 039's minaret. 23 fire accounts occasionally contain elements of mirabilia, ajab. 24 Thus, for example, a story from the Mamluk Sultanate frontier tells of Muslim prisoners of war who were executed by the Christian enemy. Among them was an old woman. Before her death she cried, and quote, O God, duly punish them, and quote. And indeed, during the night the officer in charge of the ballista wheel got drunk and started a fire, and a strong wind then intensified the flames. For 12 days it burned, destroying the castle and killing 12 officers. 25 Another case in point is an official report on a fire in the mountains overlooking the Mediterranean Sea in northern Lebanon in Syria and number 039's coast, a region that according to the historian is populated by heretics. He tells of a devastating fire that destroyed a vast area, killing wild animals and driving the population to seek shelter near the waterfront. He adds, and quote, through a chimney a leaf has fallen and burned the house to the ground, and quote. After 3 days the rain extinguished the fire. 26 https://peristyle.ch/2019/03/04/erdbebinfuvasandandercatastrophen/4 A common interpretation of these fires, as mentioned previously, was that they were a heavenly wearing, ayah. This interpretation of natural hazards was in line with the contemporary common Islamic worldview. A quick look at Mamluk and quote, ruler and number 039's advice and quote, compilations elucidates this point. Advancing arguments about the merits of the just ruler and warning that evil and wrongful government leads to devastation is a salient argumentation in that genre. 27 The poet Ibn al-Wadi and the historian al-Dhahabi, who were mentioned above, state that they were able to detect in an ancient apocalypse hints of the very calamity that they experienced in Damascus. 28 This line is followed by those Damascene historians who report on a massive fire in the vicinity of Al-Madinah that continued for a month. The flames lighted vast territories. One source transmits an oral description by Bedouins in southern Syria who claimed that the sky was so bright that they could clearly perceive the features of their camels, 654/30 June 1256. 29 Modern scholars who have studied the seismic history of the Near East interpret these accounts as eyewitness reports on the eruption of a volcano east of the sacred oasis. 30 On several occasions our sources append their account of the fires with reports of army officers who enthusiastically participated in fighting the flames. 31 A case in point is a report from Cairo, 780/May 1378. In this account the chronicler praises the officers and number 039, courage. They endangered themselves and brought under control the fire, which destroyed large parts of Cairo and number 039's market. 32 In addition to reports on fires that consumed commercial and industrial constructions, the sources report on fires that destroyed sacred buildings. It seems that the writers and number 039 narrative of fires, destruction and renovation was shaped not only by the measures of the damage caused, the heavy financial losses and the shocking effects of the destruction of venerated places, but also by the very fact that many among the authors were members of the upper echelon. They were closely associated with the religious establishment, 33 as well as with the ruling military aristocracy. 34 Often scholars and writers identified their interest with the governing officers. Pious foundation that this class established paid for the building and maintenance of sites that were burned to the ground. Often the coffers of charitable endowments, or kaf, profited from leasing commercial buildings. 35 Incomes that supported financially the class of the learned men. So, no wonder that they prized the governing military aristocracy for its efforts to reconstruct devastated streets and constructions that conflagrations had destroyed. The Sultan Qutb, for example, sent orders to Medina, ordering the renovation of the school, madrasa, adjacent to the Prophet and number 039's mosque that fire had heavily damaged. 36 Several composers eulogized him for doing so. 37 This policy seems not to be restricted to the Mamluk sultans. Studies on the Great Fire of 1660 in Istanbul highlight the measures taken by the Sultan and number 039's court. The reconstruction of the burned neighborhood provided the https://peristyle.ch/2019/03/04/erdbebenfuervasandandercatastrophen/5sultanandnumber039, S. mother with an opportunity to pursue a policy of Islamization. The Jewish district became a center of devotion and commemoration. Even today the imposing mosque and tombs reflect this image. 38 From the data presented in this section, and from other sources and studies, we can deduce that fires occasionally ravaged the Mamluk urban spaces. 39 Yet apparently there were no written regulations regarding the prevention of fires or fighting the flames. 40 Al-Shazari and number 039's guidebook for the market inspector illustrates the point. The author advises the Muhtasib to recommend keeping a distance between those artisans who use fire in their workshops, blacksmiths, bakers etc., and shops of spices, scents, perfumes, textiles, etc. Yet the reasoning concerns bad smells and not the danger of fire. 41 This conclusion is in line with the prevailing maxim and quote, no harm and no compulsion in Islam and quote. Juridical compendia support this regulation of communal life. 42 Earthquakes, tsunamis and volcanoes. The population of the Mamluk Sultanate experienced destruction, injuries and death from collapsing buildings and falling rocks. Moreover, in several incidents earthquakes under the Mediterranean caused tsunamis. 43 No doubt, the trembling of the earth terrorized all, causing chaotic moments not easily forgotten by the population that inhabited the towns and villages of Egypt and Syria. 44 So, we might assume that fear of the revenge of nature was no stranger to the commoners than to the ruling military aristocracy. Apocalyptic texts, Malhama, which were briefly mentioned above, reflect this mode. No wonder that contemporary chroniclers recorded, at least partially, the seismic history of the Sultanate and of regions beyond its frontiers. These earthquakes, tsunamis and volcanoes attracted the attention of geologists and engineers, in addition to historians. 45 The major explanation of this can be, in addition to the craft of the historians, the practical dimensions of these studies. Governments, contractors and operators of quarries of mineral resources collected geological and seismic data and analyzed it. N. Ambrazes and others used medieval texts to compose catalogues of earthquakes and to craft in-depth research in geological studies. 46 Based upon modern scholarly achievements there is no need to provide here a register of seismic events that occurred in Egypt, Syria and Arabia during the years 1250 to 1517. Hence it seems sufficient to analyze a handful accounts. I will only dwell upon Mamluk sources and number 039, accounts of public reactions to tremors and on reports of repairs that were accomplished following these earth tremors and aftershocks. Although it should be stated from the outset that the lists of traumatic events that several pre-modern Arab authors composed mostly tell of damages and rarely of repairs. Mamluk sources report on a severe earthquake, Al-Zi'ala Al-Uzma. Apparently it was one of the largest seismic events in the Mediterranean area, 23 DHU Al-Hijr 702-1303 August 8. 47 Because of its devastating effects, this event is described both in Arabic and European https://peristyle.ch/2019/03/04/erdbebenfuervasandandercatastrophen/6 sources. These sources report on an alarming event that lasted between 20 to 40 days. According to several modern estimations, this seismic event hit a vast area at the top of Richter and number 039's magnitude scale. The tremors were followed by a tsunami that affected a wide zone. The earthquake caused damage in the Aegean Sea, the eastern Mediterranean coast and lower Egypt. Buildings clattered to the ground as the earth moved and roofs collapsed. The terrified population, fearing the collapse of buildings, moved to the fringes of Cairo and other towns and sheltered in tents. Panic-stricken women exposed themselves on the streets, their faces uncovered. 48 The shock shattered the lighthouse of Alexandria. The high waves reached the center of the city and ruined the city and number 039's wall, washing through streets and houses. The water carried ships and boats onto the land, throwing Frankish vessels onto the sandy shores. The waves also hit the shores of Rhodes and Crete, on the other side of the sea. A contemporary Carian poet wrote a long qasida on this earthquake, Mazahara min al-Dawla il fi al-Hadith val-Zalazil. 49 The verses echo the apocalyptic vision that shocked the inhabitants of the Sultanate's capital. 50 A similar tone emerges from an ego document composed by an anonymous reporter who happened to be in the port of Munyat ibn Qasib when the tremor hit that city. In a sermon he addressed the local people, pointing out that because of their wrongdoings the earthquake should be accepted as a punishment. It is only God and number 039's mercy that protects them. 51 Al-Yunini's account of this earthquake casts light on the contemporaneous perceptions of this event. It is based on an official letter that reached Damascus from Cairo. Yet it seems that Al-Yunini was not satisfied with a mere description of this alarming seismic event, and because of this he inserts a long quotation, Nakortu, from Al-Kazwini's Mirabilia book Asia Ib al-Makhlukat. 52 This extract, we must assume he believed, added a deep historical background, Dakara al-Qadama, and scientific explanation of natural physical forces to the eyewitness account that he inserted in his chronology. 53 Yet the reaction was not limited to literary reports. There was also a materialistic dimension. Due to the mounting demand, construction prices sharply increased. 54 The sources highlight members of the military aristocracy volunteering in the rehabilitation and rebuilding initiatives. In most reported cases, rebuilding initiatives were recorded in installations that Mamluk authorities regarded as located in strategic locations. 55 It looks as if, following the tremors, the authorities and number 039 repair enterprises focused mainly on military centers and, as in cases of post-fires reconstruction, on public buildings that carried symbolic value, i.e. mosques, schools, etc. Such, for example, is the account of the Sultanate and number 039's reaction to the earthquake that shattered many buildings in Palestine and Transjordan. The fortress town of Karak was particularly badly hit, which might indicate that the center of the shock was the Dead Sea, January 1293. A Damascene historian tells that in February of that year the viceroy of the city received letters from Cairo ordering him to send a military https://peristyle.ch/2019/03/04/erdbebinfuavasandandercatastrophen/7 expedition to repair the Karak. It was accompanied by artisans and civilian engineers who toiled at that place. 56 Governing authorities searched for resources to finance the reconstruction of cities struck by massive destruction. Pious charities, or kaf, were a rich source that provided for reconstructions. 57 The coffers of the Great Mosque and number 039's patrimony paid for the recovery measures that were taken as Syrian cities witnessed devastating earthquakes. 551-554/1156-1159. 58 On such situations, sultans argued that the usufruct of endowed urban properties and agricultural lands aimed at serving the public good. 59 This claim served well their efforts to invigorate their image as the good and just ruler, although one should not rule out efforts born from sincere caring. Nevertheless, this policy was legitimized by the religious establishment and hence is more visible than in cases of demolished private assets. Another case to illuminate the governor's and number 039 restoration efforts is the long account of the 702-1303 earthquake in Egypt and the Eastern Mediterranean, which was mentioned above. 60 Observing the collapse of the most ancient mosque of Egypt, the governor of Cairo promised to repair the damages. The Sultan paid for the renovation of a third of the old religious buildings. A military commander named Bibas al-Jashanji restored the mosque that the Caliph al-Hakim had founded. 61 Several years later he constructed a mega complex within the walls of Cairo. The inhabitants of this pious foundation used to pray on Fridays in the reconstructed mosque. 62 The coffers of the religious endowments paid for the restoration of another mosque in the city of Al-Mansura. Actually, this policy corroborates the common explanation of earthquakes. In the case mentioned here, the historian explicitly says that failure in observing Islamic regulations and norms caused the terrible experience. 63 So, rebuilding was believed to be a step towards strengthening the correct religious conducts. floods turning to reports on Flood 64 and restoration in their wake, we come across accounts resembling those on fires. 65. The sources provide vivid accounts of rising waters and destruction, 66, as well as of reconstruction. In several cases, the chroniclers based their narrative on official memoranda, which I assume were produced not only to inform the center on damages and losses, but also because previous arable lands allocations were washed away by the water to back demands to exchange it to farms. 67. As in events of blazes and earthquakes, so also in events of high water torrents, governors focused their urban restoration initiatives on highly esteemed public constructions. It seems that they were mainly concerned with repairing religious buildings. Since in a past study I have provided an annotated translation of a dozen official reports on flooding waters, I see no need to repeat this. It seems sufficient to provide here a single case that illuminate both the sources and their narrative. 68. It is a report on destruction caused https://peristyle.ch/2019/03/04/erdbebinfuavasandandair/catastrophen/8 by heavy rains that washed through the town of Ilan in Transjordan. Tankies, who served for many years as the Viceroy of Damascus, ordered the repair of the destroyed mosque. 69. His initiative is in line with the Sultanate and No. 039's reconstruction and repair policy. Namely, to invest in social and religious construction in order to gain symbolic capital. Summary. The reports on restoration efforts that the Mamluk elite directed reflect the prevailing political discourse among the contemporary chroniclers. Moreover, a considerable section among the religious establishment benefited from the pious charities that the Mamluk military aristocracy endowed. Undoubtedly, we should assume that the governmental agenda, the self-presentation of the good ruler, the military aristocracy and No. 039's efforts to cultivate political legitimacy and to disseminate an image of devoted Muslim governors and sultans motivated them to lead restoration efforts and to finance them. The lion's share of the accounts studied here reports mainly on events related to the governing elite or measures concerning the religious establishment. Hence, readers of this chronicle should not be surprised by the salient place that actions and reactions by the ruling Mamluk elite occupy in accounts of destruction and restoration. They are portrayed as a collective that was busy with Muslims and No. 039, welfare and devoted energy and resources to achieve this goal. The story of the urban crowds or the villagers who dwelled in hamlets controlled by the military aristocracy concerned them less. This explains the structure and contents of the chronicles and No. 039, accounts of natural hazards and restoration. https://peristyle.ch/2019/03/04/erdbebinfuavasandandair/9 List of fires, year, place, effects, sources 663 1265 Cairo Anti.